Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Mr. Alex Ravenel. Sir, you may now begin.
Great, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for joining us. This is the fourth in our monthly series of industry updates on the Consolidated Audit Trail. Per usual, want to give everyone an update on recent events, where things stand, any sort of updates to the process, and we'll take questions at the end. Per usual, we'll do questions via WebEx. Please submit your questions through the course of the event. At the end, we will circle back around and we'll answer everything we can. Per usual, I'll give my update. We may not have the answers for everything that that everyone would like to know, but we certainly want to be as open and forthcoming as possible, and we'll do our best to do so. Go to the next slide, please. All right, so we've got a number of items on the agenda for today in terms of an update. Our CISO, Voss, will be giving an update on CAT cybersecurity generally. We'll give an update on PII and some of the conversations that have been going on there, as well as an update on the FIF alternative approach that they have been proposing recently. We'll get an update on some of the specifics of the various different CAT working groups. We'll talk about the industry and the tech stacks, as well as a couple of other items. And then we'll give a number of updates regarding the website. So we'll talk about some of the interpretive FAQs that are out there. We'll talk about the tech specs and current status of those. And we'll talk a little bit about the clock sync requirements. So again, I just want to thank everybody. Very much appreciate your time. At this point, we can go to the next slide, and I will hand it off to Jeff.
Thank you very much, Alex. I'm Jeff Wells, the technical project manager at SIBO. What you're looking at right now is the implementation timeline that we're working towards. This is the timeline that is part of the exemptive request from the SROs. It hasn't been approved by the SEC, but this is the timeline that we're working towards, and everything is predicated on that. Of course, we're not up to the first dot on the timeline, but one of the most significant elements really has been security that we need to get in place before submissions. And we have just recently hit an important deadline, which was to get a CISO on board. So on this long road through to 2022, we of course, believe that security is central to all that we do. And with that, I'd like to hand over, if we can perhaps move on to the next slide, and I'd like to introduce Vaz Rajan, who works for CAT Thesis, and will talk us through his responsibilities.
Jeff, thank you very much for the introduction. to all listeners, my name is Vaz Rajan. I joined Thesis CAT on March 1st, and I'm based out of the New York office. I'll use the next few minutes to introduce myself, what my focus has been so far, and also to talk a little bit about what future industry updates might look like with respect to providing information about the security posture of the CAT. As for myself, I came here from CLS Bank International. That's a member-owned foreign exchange market utility, which is designated under Dodd-Frank as a SIFMU, that's a systemically important financial market utility. CLS settles an average value of $5 trillion U.S. per day of foreign exchange trades. As a CISO there for the last 5 years, I had the responsibility for securing the systems of a SIFMU. And in that capacity, I work with a large number of regulators and government agencies, both domestically and abroad, as well as several central banks and also the CLS member banks themselves. When I learned about the CAT, the mission-critical nature of it was immediately clear to me. That, along with the team that's building it and the SRO community, were my primary motivations for joining Thesis CAT. At Thesis CAT, I report to the president, Andre Frank. However, I want to make clear that I also have a fiduciary obligation to CAT NMS LLC, and so I also report to the operating committee of CAT NMS in that capacity. As I mentioned, I started on March 1st, so as I approach the 30-day mark, my focus has been understanding and working towards the security deliverables and milestones according to the plan and delivery schedule. A couple of highlights from that would include the delivery of our security plan, as well as certification of the environment to begin accepting even in testing data from the SROs. As I have the opportunity to participate in future industry webcasts, I'll provide more robust updates on those and other topics and key milestones related to the security of the CAP. So thank you for the opportunity to introduce myself, and I look forward to future updates. Now, for an update on PII, I'll hand it over to John Kroper. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Voss. This is John Kroper. I'm the head of the PII Working Group. As you know, we've been evaluating alternatives to the PII approach that's currently laid out in the CAT NMS plan. We've been working through a number of alternatives. We have received industry input earlier this month from CIFMA as well as STA and FIF working together. We met with them last week and walked through their reaction to the two alternatives that we had laid out. We are gathering that feedback, and we are in the process of preparing a recommendation that we're going to make to the CAT Operating Committee as an alternative to the current approach to PII. And if we do get that approved by the Operating Committee, which should happen in the next week or two, then we will begin the process of taking that alternative approach to the SEC and determining whether they will consider the adoption of that alternative in lieu of the requirements that are currently under the CAT NMS plan. And that's the current update on PII. Turn it over for the update on industry member tech specs.
It's actually, John, we're going to, I think, talk about the FIF phase implementation approach. This is Jess Haberman.
Oh, sorry, Jess.
From Fidessa Corp. Earlier this month, representatives of FIF and its membership met with the SEC to discuss an alternative implementation approach to CAT. Before that, they met separately with the participants and with Thesis to discuss this proposal and share what they plan to say to the SEC. Now, as a member of the advisory committee and through Fidessa of FIF, I was asked to brief you on the proposal made to the SEC today. By way of background, FIF, the Financial Information Forum, is an industry group composed of broker-dealers, exchanges, and vendors, and the purpose of this group is to address implementation issues that impact the security industry. FIF has had a focus on CAT for years and has previously, in addition to many, many meetings with its members, commented on the rule and the plan, met with the SEC on a number of occasions, participated in DAG, and provided feedback on the technical specs, the thesis, and the SROs. FIF, by which I mean the large majority of its members, like any organization that is not monolithic, believes CAT is too big and complex to deliver all at once in a reasonable time period without undue risk. We've had a preview of what happens to a project of this size and complexity by the results to date. There have already been delays, and while the industry is now engaged in a collaborative undertaking with the participants in thesis to discuss, among other things, interpretive issues and the technical specifications, we can see that this is a deliberative process and is likely to result in further delays. Don't get me wrong, FIF and its members are very much in favor of this collaboration and these discussions and believe they are critical to the overall long-term success of CAT. But they illustrate again the project's complexity and the time needed to get it right. With that in mind, FIF has proposed an alternative implementation approach that it believes is more pragmatic and lowers risk. This alternative calls for a phased approach where initially only equities would be reported, using existing OATS events and interpretive guidance with very limited exceptions. The exceptions would be market-making activity and some type of customer identifier that would be dependent on the PII solution identified by the operating committee, discussed in the slide previous, would perhaps be something like a firm-designated ID or a large trader ID. The options, allocations, and additional information required for representative orders would be among the things FIF proposes would be included in additional phases that would be introduced based on priorities set by regulators and the SEC. So the proposal calls for using OATS-like reports, but the CAT infrastructure, including submissions and error corrections. FIF believes that such a phase-in approach would lower error rates since it would initially be based on known oats reporting rules. It would allow for the rapid retirement of oats and result in a faster time to market, particularly for the first phase. The shorter time to market would have benefits for SROs and the SEC as well. It would give them most of the information they want, admittedly not all, to do their surveillance. Almost all of the equity data would be linked, except certain representative orders. And since options orders are executed on, are all executed on exchange, the SROs and SEC would have essentially all data for options other than the firm designated ID, all in one centralized CAT utility. This would allow regulators to conduct cross-market surveillance. So where are we with this proposal? What I can say is that the SEC seemed interested and discussions are continuing. So now let me turn it over to Paul McKinney, who will next give an update on the industry technical specs.
Great, Jeff. Thank you very much. My name is Paul McKinney. I'm with FINRA's Market Regulation Department. I wanted to give you an update on the status of the industry member technical specifications. As any of you who have read through the extension request letter may have seen that the consortium has committed to putting out iterative drafts of the technical specifications. The first draft went out in September 2017, and we are the next deadline for the iterative drafts is April 15th. There is a lot of work being done on the technical specifications. The SROs are working hard and closely with both the industry and thesis on these technical specifications, but we feel that there's still more work that needs to be done, and as such, we are looking to, we think that the next version of the technical specifications would probably be put out in May or May 15th. So we're shooting to get additional information together so that the technical specifications are more complete at that publication date. We continue to collaboratively work through all the feedback that we get from the industry members and work, as I said, work very closely with thesis in order to get a good sound document posted. Another update just on the technical specifications is that the operating committee recently had a vote on a topic that was raised through the technical specifications working group. And the outcome of that vote was that the operating committee had agreed to remove capacity from CAT equity order events that relate to the receipt of orders, or basically new order types. So the new order report, the order accepted report, modifications, cancel replaces, and order restatements. And then we certainly understand that and fully know how that time is necessary in order for the industry to be able to code to these specifications, and we are continuing to work with the SEC as well in order to have a significant amount of time for the industry to be able to code to it. So with that, we can move on to the next slide. And I also wanted to give some updates on the interpretive working group as well as the industry member technical specifications group, and then I will turn it back over to Jeff Wells. The interpretive working group's been working very hard as well. Both these groups have been working very hard in collaboration with the industry. We've recently posted FAQs up on the CAT NMS website. These are interpretive FAQs related to CAT quotes received via subscriptions to receive market data from market data and vendors. And we will continue to update those interpretive FAQs as new interpretive items are resolved. This group is meeting on a frequent basis and is really working through a lot of these issues. If you have an interpretive question or any type of question, you can certainly direct those to the CAT help desk that would then filter those into the interpretive working group. As for the industry member technical specifications working group, they have had a number of deep dive sessions with the industry regarding interpretive issues, and we've gotten a lot of excellent information, a lot of really well thought out presentations and information from FIF, CIFMA, and STA, particularly in the space surrounding manual and verbal quotes, as well as representative orders. We've had two of these deep dives, and as I said, they've really been helpful to us to understand the industry's perspective on both these issues. And we're continuing to work through the issues from an SRO perspective, as well as with the processor. And we will then take any recommendations to the operating committee. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Wells, who's going to talk to you a little bit about the cost and funding and industry outreach working groups. Jeff?
Thanks very much, Paul. There has obviously been an enormous amount of activity on the tech spec side and interpretive issues. With cost and funding, we are continuing to discuss the fee model that we did put out before. It was withdrawn as we continue to work through, but we are very committed to establishing equitable industry member fees, and of course this project will need to be paid for. So it hasn't gone away, but it will come out no doubt in the future when everything is agreed or looks more agreeable. And also it's worth noting with respect to this group, which is the industry outreach working group that Paul and I head, we've reviewed collaboratively with a number of other people the general FAQs that were on the CAT NMS website, and many of them had been there for several years and showed that they showed their age. But we've reviewed those, gone through, and updated them and republished. So before you, you know, begin to ask a lot of questions into the help desk, as we'd suggest, it would be a good idea to have a look through the general FAQs to see if your questions are answered. And of course, we're still very willing to accept new questions and ideas. And when we get those in turn would be published with some answers. So with that, I will pass over to Todd Golub of Thesis CAT, who can talk a little bit about the website and the FAQs.
Thank you, Jeff. This is Todd. My name is Todd Golub. I head up product management here at Thesis CAT. As has been mentioned a couple times on this call so far, there have been updates to both the general FAQ as well as additions to the interpretive FAQs. As you can see on this slide here, at the top banner of the website, you can see an FAQ dropdown or an FAQ item from whence you can pick your general FAQ items. It's really just that simple. So it's catnmsplan.com, and you'll see at the top here the general FAQ and the interpretive FAQs, which we will continue to update certainly as the information comes in. And if you can move on to the next slide, so with the website, you can see that we have added in the top banner a technical specifications item. It was rather, shall we say, buried or at least difficult to find in prior iterations. And certainly these are items that people will be looking for more often than not. So there is a separate section for technical specifications. Listed here are the most recent versions of the participant tech specs, as well as both version 0.1 and the excerpts of 0.2 of the industry member specs, since they are compendiums, if you will, of one another. When we do come out with the new draft as planned in May, we will be replacing them with that new updated version of 3. I would also mention that, I mean, there'll be more talk about the website later, but it's worth mentioning that this phone call, as well as the slide deck itself, will be posted to catmsplan.com. And with that, I will hand it back over to Paul, I believe.
Great. Thanks, Todd. The next topic we wanted to discuss is just the clock synchronization certification. This is really just a reminder that the annual certification for business clocks was due from firms on March 15th of 2018. So this is a reminder that if you have not done that at this point, you'd certainly want to do that. And the certification form and information on the certification process is available on the catnmsplan.com website. Just a reminder that this certification form is to be kept with the firm in its books and records. It does have this, the standard books and records requirement to store that. It does not need to be sent into any regulator, but you do want to keep it on the premises. Another question that has come up quite a bit surrounding the certification is if broker-dealers that are using some type of a service provider or a clearing firm to record order events and are using those services for their business clocks, do they have an obligation to also certify the broker-dealer itself? And the answer there is yes. And we do have a frequently asked question that's posted related to this topic, but the answer is yes. The broker-dealer would also have an obligation to certify that those clocks are synchronized to the standard, just as if they were their very own clocks, because they are, in effect, using them for their books and records purposes and therefore must certify that they are synchronized appropriately. So again, that deadline was on March 15th. So if your firm has not yet done that, you certainly want to take care of that as soon as possible. All right. With that, I will turn it, I believe, back over to Todd.
Thanks, Paul. It's like a little game of ping pong. So finally, to wrap up, a couple more items on the website, and more specifically, how to remain in contact and receive updates from CatNMS. So as we mentioned before, the main website is catnmsplan.com. As you can see on this slide at the very bottom banner, there is a subscribe option. From there, you can subscribe to get the CatNMS plan alerts. We put out type of alerts that you might expect, which would be when specs are updated, FAQs are updated, and notices of events such as this and the posting of such events. We do strongly recommend, and we really would like everyone to subscribe so we can ensure, or for the in the best interest of you as the industry, to ensure that you can maintain in contact and get the most up-to-date information. This really is the best way to do it, by accessing CatNMS plan and subscribing to the emails. And moving on to the next slide, just a little bit more on communication. The help desk is live. It's up. It's open on weekdays, non-holidays, from 9 to 5 by phone number and email. We will certainly get back to you as quickly as possible. There are some items that the help desk would not be immediately able to answer, such as maybe specific technical questions or some interpretive items, as mentioned before. So in those instances, they will certainly find the right subject matter expert to get that information back to you as soon as possible. As you can see here, the types of questions that are certainly available for you to reach out to us. And again, I stress that the importance of CatNMS plan, and certainly of signing up for the alerts. With that, I'll hand it back over to Alex to talk about the upcoming events. Thank you.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, I just want to point out the CIFMA Ops Conference is coming up in a month and change. I know a couple folks that are on this call, some SRO reps, as well as a couple folks that are on the advisory committee will be there. I think there's actually a CAT panel on the second day. So I do just want to point that out for those that might be there. All right, can we move on? I think the next item we have is questions. So if folks have questions, if you could submit those via the WebEx, we've got a couple that have trickled in. We will go through those now. I can't promise we'll be able to answer everything, but we'll do our best. Let's handle the sort of administrative questions first. Will the slides and recording of the call be made available? The answer is yes, they will be made available up on the CAT website. You can take a look there. They usually are up within about 48 hours or so after the event. We had a couple questions around the PII alternative that the SROs are considering and what that looks like. John, are you on? Do you want to take a quick rundown of what we're talking about here?
I'm sorry, Alex. I couldn't hear you.
You want to give a quick rundown of some of the discussions around PII and what some of the alternatives we're looking at include?
Yeah, I can do that. Thank you. Well, we were actively considering two alternatives. The first alternative would be somewhat similar to the approach that's already in place, with the exception of it would reduce the coverage of the customer and customer account system from covering both institutional and retail accounts to have it only capture information relating to non-natural persons. That's the first alternative. The second, and then that alternative would also require changes to Blue Sheets, either its replacement for a system that relies on the firm designated ID or just changes to modify Blue Sheets for a quicker turnaround time. The second alternative, which is much more similar to the SIFMR alternative, although it differs in some respects, is to, in lieu of having a customer-to-customer account database, instead make some changes to the order and allocation events that are required to be reported to CAT to have them not only include an FDID, but also an LEI or an LTID, as well as creating a firm-designated ID request response system. So as I said before, we are in the process of deciding between those two alternatives. We expect to wrap that up very shortly and then take that to the operating committee for a vote. Thank you.
Thanks, John. All right. We've got a question. What does Thesis think of the alternative put forth by FIF? I would say, so first of all, I think the better question is what the SROs and the SEC think of the proposal. Fundamentally, the SROs would have to make a decision to go forward, and most critically, it would require a number of amendments to the plan, which would require the SEC to be on board. The SROs are still discussing. They're still discussing that with the SEC as well as Thesis, who obviously would have to implement it, but certainly nothing to talk about in terms of specifics at this point. There's a question around, there's two questions around the tech specs. So first, what's the difference between the industry member and the participant tech spec? And then the second, to the extent that industry member tech specs require further clarification, is the timeline still for the final spec in October of 2018? So the difference between the participant spec and the industry member spec, the participant spec applies only to the SROs. The SROs will be reporting November of this year, with the broker-dealer community reporting a year afterwards, according to the timelines that are out right now. In terms of timing, we are planning to have the broker-dealer specs out in a final form by October of 2018, or at least final for implementation purposes. That is still on track. That is still the plan. Certainly, there are a number of items that need to be worked through from an interpretive perspective. I think anybody who's done this before would know that even after that, there will be questions that will come up and will have to be addressed perhaps by via interpretive guidance or whatever the case may be. But the plan is still to be on track to have those out in October of this year with iterative releases leading up to then, I should point out. We've got a couple questions around dates. I see a question around when broker-dealers would have to report, as well as a question as to whether and when there will be any sort of clarity from either the SROs or the SEC as to those dates, given we're in somewhat a state of limbo right now. Mike Simon, I think you're on the line. You want to try to answer that question?
Sure, Alex. Thank you very much. Slide 3 presents the current implementation timeline. As we've stated on previous calls, this was the timeline that was included in the November 13th, 2017 submission to the SEC. We continue to work towards those dates. It is possible that the dates may shrink a little moving forward. If they do, we will let the industry know as soon as we possibly can, and certainly on one of these updates. So I think that those are the dates that the industry should be looking at. As to when we will get certainty from the SROs. That will depend on when the SROs can get certainty from the SEC. Again, these are obligations on the SROs to provide the system for reporting, and until the SROs can get some sort of confirmation or clarity from the SEC, they cannot pass it along to the industry. And again, at this point, as in previous months, while we continue to work towards these dates, and the SEC staff and the commissioners and the chairman are following us closely and want to know at any point there's a potential deviation from these dates, there's no indication that they're going to provide any certainty or clarity that these dates are good dates and that they have any type of regulatory blessing. But nevertheless, the dates on slide three remain the dates we work towards.
Thanks, Mike. I also want to point out, I think I may have misspoken a minute ago. I think I said the broker-dealer community would start to report a year after the SROs, and it's 18 months, as you can see here. I apologize for that. I'm so focused on November this year. Moving on, we've got a question about the security plan and whether that will be available on the website. The plan is not to put the security plan up on the website. That is a confidential document. It certainly contains a number of specific security policies and controls that are critical to CAT security, and making those public could in some cases damage that. Voss, I think you're still on. Is there anything you would add to that?
No, I think that was well put. I would reiterate, yeah, that it is highly confidential for the reasons you stated, and releasing it would create risk for the CAT.
Thanks. I should point out the CAT MS plan does include guidelines of what must be in that plan, and it must line up against the NIST standards. So the high-level requirements are part of the plan, and that is public record, but the detailed implementation of it is not going to be something that's public. There's a question, another question on the tech specs. What's the expected turnaround from deep dive sessions? And how much time it would take coming out of those to get the specs updated. I think the short answer is it depends, and it depends largely. Phone had an issue there. It depends largely on the issue being discussed and the implementation considerations coming out of that. Certainly, some of them are much more straightforward; just require some updates to the specs. Can move on from there. Some of them can, in some cases, require some pretty fundamental re-architecting of parts of the system, could require substantial rewrites of the specs, could, in some cases, require action by the SEC. So unfortunately, there's no simple answer to that. Everyone is working as quickly as we can. I know we have several of these discussions a week with the industry, with industry reps on, I should say. I think the interpretive working group meets in total four times a week. This is probably the single biggest activity on the SRO side from a time perspective. But unfortunately, there's no clear answer there. We've got a number of specific implementation questions here that I don't think we'll be able to answer here. Some of these could relate to the specific folks reporting. There's a question, could you define what you mean by the dates could potentially shrink? I think all this meant here is that, to Mike's point, there has been no SEC guidance on this. Certainly, we continue to work towards the dates that have been posted, but everyone should keep in mind that ultimately the SEC could weigh in on this, and those dates could change at some point. Okay, I think that takes us to the end here. I do want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you for your time. I want to say thank you to the speakers for volunteering their time as well. As I said, this will be up on the website probably within about 48 hours or so. As I also said at the start, this is a monthly series. We'll have another one of these towards the end of April. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may now disconnect.